1 Samuel chapter 30 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm interested in verse number 3 of 1 Samuel 30. I hope you feel welcome in the house of the Lord this morning. You are. Not only by the members here, but you're welcomed by the Lord Himself. Amen. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go unto the house of the Lord.'" The Lord's good this morning. Amen. Nahum said, "The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knows them that put their trust in Him." That's some heavenly assurance that the Lord is good. Amen. He is good. He assured us that. That's also heavenly assistance. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And then He leads us into a heavenly acquaintance. That way we have no doubt. He knows them that puts their trust in Him. I'm glad the Lord knows us this morning. Amen. 1 Samuel 30, verse number 3. We're going to talk about David this morning. So David and his men came to the city. The city being Ziklag. And behold. Now that word behold, you skip over it. It's a very powerful word. It means to look thoroughly, look quickly, look. Like it's like somebody saying, look, and you look and you see. That's what the Bible's saying here. Behold, it was burned with fire. And there, meaning David and his men, their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. So that's a dramatic scene. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever been there in your life? David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, "I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod." And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this tree? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue. Thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Look at verse number 18, if you would. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, 19, and there was none lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. I'd like to preach a sermon this morning entitled, "With the Lord's Help, Revival or Funeral?" Revival or funeral? Let us pray. Father, Almighty God, I do thank You so much for the authority of Scripture. Lord, I'm not relying this morning in my talents, in my abilities, in my eloquence, because there's nothing there to rely upon. But Lord, like the Apostle said, I need the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, I need that holy lightning and thunder that can only come from heaven. God, I don't have the ability this morning to preach, and I know, God, that I'm not guaranteed that I will preach, but the gift of preaching can only come from the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that You'd help me not to be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, but Lord, that You would elevate me, God, and You'd help people to be lifted up to heaven this morning. God, preaching is to bring women and men into the presence of God to affect their lives. I need Your help this morning. Father, I'm relying upon You. I thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your blood. I thank You for the empty tomb. Lord, there's unseen forces at work here this morning. And I pray, God, that by the power of your precious Holy Ghost, that you bind all the demons and the devils of hell, that you would open up our minds, open up our eyes, open up our hearts to be able to receive the engrafted word. Lord, we need you this morning. I thank you for the faithfulness of your people. I pray that you'd help us to leave here different than when we came in. God, prepare our hearts. Show us these things from the life of David that will help us to decide this morning, is it going to be a revival in my life or a spiritual funeral? Help us this morning. We're at a crossroads. We need your help. God, I pray, I don't know who's lost in here today, but you do. And I pray that you'd convict them, help them to see their need and be saved today before it's too late. I don't know who's backslidden and away from you this morning, but you do. And God, I pray that you draw that person back to yourself. God, get the work done. Help us this morning. Be with those traveling that can't be here, and the sick and the afflicted. We'll give you honor, we'll give you praise. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name I pray. In the merit of Christ, I ask all these things. Amen and amen. I'm interested in this term, recovered all. Recovered all. It is an Old Testament picture of what Jesus Christ has done for us. I need I remind you this morning, beloved, that you, by birth and by nature, are lost. You're spiritually dead, and that means not partially alive. That means you're dead. There's no way that you can save yourself from the coming condemnation. Mankind is in a lost state. I hear people say all the time, I can't watch the news for 10 minutes without being depressed. And I agree, and I hear people say all the time that the world is a lost and crazy place, and I agree, but it's been that way since the first two human beings that were born, one of them killed the other one. It's been that way since the creation and the fall of man, since mankind. By the way, I like the term fall, but in a way I don't like it, because Adam and Eve didn't fall into sin. Adam and Eve dove headlong into sin willingly. They chose to rebel against God. And mankind this morning is in a state of rebellion against God. It should not shock you that mankind without Jesus acts like mankind without Jesus. It shouldn't shock you this morning that lost people act like lost people. They're without hope. They're without God. They're without the Son of God. There's no peace in their heart. There's no joy in their heart. They have not been forgiven. They have not been reconciled. They have not recovered all. But I'm here to remind you this morning, the old, old story is very much a story of salvation. It's very much a story of redemption. It's very much a story of recovering all that we had lost. My friend, God does not save you from Satan. God does not save you from hell. God saves you from yourself. The Bible doesn't say in Satan all die. The Bible says in Adam all die. That is to say, in Austin all die. God, Robert Murray McSane used to say it like this. God, a lot of people want to be saved, want God to save them from the hell to come. But how many of us want God to save us from the hell that is within? God came to save us from what we deserve. That's grace. That's mercy. And guess what? Through the blood of Jesus this morning, you can recover all. The church is at a crossroads. Those of you that are saved. If you're lost in here this morning, you're going to have to get to the cross before you hear anything else I say. But those of us that are saved, we're at a crossroads. We have a choice to make. Is it going to be revival in my life, or is it going to be a spiritual funeral? Rear Ravenhill, I heard him say this yesterday, and I think it's true. He said, the church of the living God can be the most exciting and the most amazing place when God is brooding over her. But when God is not, it's the most boring place. It's one or the other. It's either revival or it's a funeral. Sometimes I ask the kids at the school, this is a dangerous question. One of them was honest with me one time. I said, is church boring to you? One of them said, you want to be honest? I said, yeah. He said, yeah. Because church is a terrible, boring place if God is not brooding among us. Moses said, I don't care about the milk and the honey. If you don't go with us, I'm not going to the promised land. I'm asking you this morning, do you have God in your midst? I'm not asking you if you're a church member. I'm not asking you if you enjoy singing. I'm not asking you if you have a PhD in theology. I'm asking you, do you know the living God? It's revival or it's a funeral. The church is at a crossroads. In our text this morning, David has lost it all. David has lost his family. David has lost his possessions. David is in a very desperate and downtrodden position. But, beloved, let's not get caught up in the physical and forget the spiritual implications of what is going on here. God is in control of what the Amalekites have done to David. God is in control of David losing what David has lost. And this all begins a few chapters back in chapter 27. David lost three things that caused David to be in this position. David lost three huge spiritual things that were a part of his life that caused him to be in this position. I'm asking you this morning, where are you at spiritually? Is there any among us that it seems spiritually we've lost it all? We've lost our fervency. We've lost our desire. We've lost that smile. We've lost that sparkle in our eye. We've lost that warmness in our heart. We've lost, therefore, our ability to affect the lost in a dying world. Is that you this morning? Is that me this morning? Are we like David and it's a spiritual funeral, or is it going to be a spiritual revival? Chapter 27, verse 1, if you would. Let's look at the first thing that David has lost. Let me remind you again that God will chasten his children. If you're not chastened, that means punished by God, then you're not one of his. If you have a child and your child is your child, and there's no way he cannot be your child. Amen. He's in the family. If you're in the family and I've got a son and my son wants to go out on the playground at recess time and push down or kick all the other kids, what am I going to do? I'm going to chasten him to get him to stop what he is doing. I think we've forgotten this morning that God will chasten the fire out of you because he is jealous over your affection. David is God's child. And God is chastening David. Why? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Revival or funeral? Look at verse number 1 of chapter 27. David has just won a great victory in chapter 26. Had a chance to kill his enemy Saul, but wouldn't do it because he said, "I'll touch not the Lord's anointed." Let me remind you this morning that a Christian man and a Christian woman is not a person who lives their lives based off of feelings. It's not a person who lives their lives based off of worldly opportunity. A Christian man and a Christian woman is a person that lives their lives based upon the principles of the Word of God. David had principles that he lived by, but not all the time. Not all the time. Then what? What happens when we mess up? What happens when we fail? What happens when we lose, number one, our spiritual vision? And David said in his heart, Now this is David, y'all. He's the baddest dude on the planet at this time. I honestly believe that. I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. We'll say it like he said. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. I'm going to perish one day. David has lost his spiritual vision. Now, when I use the word vision, I don't mean a funny dream. I don't mean this weird charismatic hoopla that's going on out in the world. When I say vision, I mean spiritual understanding. Understanding of the Word of God. Understanding of, number one, God's power. David has forgotten to believe in God's power. There's going to be about two chapters here, and guess who's not mentioned? The Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. The man after God's own heart without God is not very much of a man. The best of men, that's what they used to say, are men at best. And I'm going to report to you this morning that the Christian without God is no good. The Christian without the power of God can get nothing done. They came to George Whitefield one day, the great preacher of the Great Awakening, and they said, "Mr. Whitefield, we want to print out your sermons. Would that be all right?" He said, "Well, I don't have anything against that, but I'm going to warn you, you're not going to get the lightning and the thunder on paper." Because he understood that it takes the lightning and the thunder of God to make preaching and to make a Christian effective. You know what David's forgotten to do? He's forgotten the upward look to heaven. David quit doing this, which he did most of his life. Read the Psalms. He was a man who lived his life like this, spiritually. And David started doing this. And he said, "Saul's going to get me." Now, wait a second. David's already been anointed to be king, but he's doubting God's power. You know what the church is doing this morning? You know what I hope you're not doing this morning? You're doubting his power. What happened to God being powerful? What happened to God being powerful? Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he says, therefore, go. You know what we do? We keep talking about going and going and going. But if you don't go with it in mind that the Savior who sent you has all power, then you're going in the wrong spirit, my friend. Tarry ye at Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. What the kids in the youth group need is the power of God. What this church needs this morning is the power of God. What you need in your Christian life is the power of God. If you're lost this morning, what you need is the power of God to show you your condition. The church has tarried too long, friend, without his power. I like his power. I want to watch him move. I want to see God work. I still believe that God has power. They said of Whitefield, he preached of the unseen as if it was seen. That's also what they said of the Hall of Faith people in Hebrews chapter 11. Brother Freddie preached on it a Wednesday night. They said that they lived as seeing him that was what? Invisible. They knew the power of God. What about you? Do you have the power of God in your life? David doesn't hear. He's forgotten. Uh-oh. You know what he's forgotten to do? Pray. Where's the inquiring of the Lord? Do you see it in chapter? You ain't going to see it in chapter 27. You ain't going to see it in chapter 28. And you're not going to see it in chapter 29. I've read them thoroughly. It's not there. He's not praying anymore. Christian, what about you this morning? What caused Noah, the great hero of the faith, the great builder of the ark, to get drunk and to defile himself? You know what it was? He forgot about the altar. He forgot to pray. And God's power had left him. Next thing, he's forgotten to trust in God's promises. He's forgotten to trust in God's promises. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you looked through the scriptures and underlined God's promises in your mind and said, "Thank you, Lord, for your promises"? You know, you pray based upon the promises of God. He's promised you some things this morning. You ought to look at them. They're pretty good promises. He's promised you access. Amen. He's promised you eternal salvation. He's promised us some good things. Let me ask you something this morning, church. Do you believe in God's promises? Jesus was very, very, very offended when people were looking for a sign and wouldn't trust his promises. He said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. But what about my promise?" He promised Abraham, "I'll make you a great nation." Abraham believed it, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He promised Paul that he would use him to preach to the Gentiles. Paul believed it and was used of God. He's promised David that you'll be the next king in Israel. But David is doubting God's promises. He has no spiritual vision. Boy, I better run. Next thing, he's forgotten to rely on God's protection. Did you know that God will protect his children? Did you know that God is watching over his children? Did you know that God is in control of your trials? You know what? I hear people say this. What you don't know can't hurt you. Well, don't tell that to Job. Because Job didn't know a lot of things that were coming his way that hurt him. I'm here to tell you what you don't know is fixing to hurt you bad. And you better trust in God's protection or you're going to be in trouble. I wonder if you would have came to Job and said, "Hey, Job, you know, Satan and God had their meeting this morning and your name came up." He'd say, "Well, I didn't know that." Wouldn't he? But Job lived his life by what he knew, not by what he didn't know. He said, "I don't know a lot of things, but I know my Redeemer liveth. I don't know a lot of things. I didn't know what was coming my way, but the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know my Redeemer lives this morning." No matter what comes your way, David, don't you forget that your Redeemer lives. What you wrote in the book of Psalms, "The Holy One shall not see corruption." Don't you forget the promises of God, the protection of God, the power of God. Isaiah had a great vision in Isaiah chapter number 6. You want to read about revival, read Isaiah chapter number 6. He had a vision, and this is what the church needs again. A vision of God's holiness. The Bible says that Isaiah saw God high and lifted up. The church, listen to me. You want to talk about revival? The church will not have revival until we get God back in His proper place. The revival is not a set of meetings. Revival is not in the hands of a preacher. Martin Lloyd-Jones said revival is what God does to the church. It's God doing it. God sovereignly decrees and works out revival. It comes from getting God in His proper place. David doesn't have God in his proper place. And if you're still calling him the man upstairs, you don't have God in your proper place. If you don't rely on him and worship him and desire to know him, it's because he's not in his proper place. Martin Lloyd-Jones said 99% of the problem among believers is simply they have little knowledge of the nature of God. I'm not talking about the God that Benny Hinn serves on the TV. I'm talking about the God of the Bible. You see, you've got to dig in the gold mine to know him. And we're all too lazy to do it. David has become lazy. Too lazy to pray. Too lazy to seek God. The next thing, once you see God's holiness, you know what comes next? Your sinfulness. Isaiah said, "Woe is me." The church hasn't said, "Woe is me," in a long time. And because the church hasn't said, "Woe is me," in a long time, God hasn't sent the fire in a long time. "I'm a man of unclean lips." You want your vision back? Your spiritual understanding back? Get God where He is. Get man where He's supposed to be. You got to have those two things. You're not going to understand the gospel if you don't have those two things. The next thing, he realizes that people need God. Isaiah realized that people needed God, and he said, "Lord, send me." The reason you're not saying this morning, "Lord, send me," is because it hasn't really dawned up here how much they need God. William Booth said, "I wish I could dangle all of my Salvation Army officers over hell for 24 hours. That would prepare them. Because then they know people need God." He had spiritual vision. Let me ask you this morning, do you? The next thing that David lost that we need back this morning is spiritual passion. Spiritual passion. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 27. David said in his what? In his heart. In other words, Joab at his right hand couldn't hear it. Jesse, his father back at the house, couldn't hear it. His two wives couldn't hear it. But there was a God in heaven who heard the cry of David's heart and could feel the doubt in his heart. You never say anything in your heart that God doesn't hear. And if you've said in your heart this morning, "I don't really want to go to church, but I will," God hears that. If you said in your heart this morning, "I should read my Bible tonight, but I'm not," God hears that. If you ever said in your heart, "I would pray, but nah." Oh, mom and dad didn't hear it. The preacher man didn't hear it. God did. David said in his heart, his passion is waning. Let me ask you something this morning. Where is your passion at? Where is your passion at? David has lost that luster in his heart. That David, I believe, emanated with passion for God. So much so that he killed a giant with a sling. It's the same man, y'all. It's the same man that wrote the Psalms. It's the same man that sat out on the hillside and said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Have you ever read any more passionate chapter of Scripture than that? No, you haven't, but he's lost it. I'm telling you this morning, you can lose your passion. The church has lost its passion. We need a passion that's a love in action. The first thing is the upward look to heaven. The second thing is the inward hunger of God. Do you want God? You know why God doesn't brood over our services? We don't want Him to. We want Him to up here, but we don't want Him to right here, and we don't want Him to right here. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend this morning preparing your heart for this service? How much time did you spend last night preparing your heart for Sunday school? How much time are you going to spend Tuesday afternoon preparing your heart for Wednesday night? You take this stuff too serious. Do you think that when I get to heaven, God's going to look at me and say, "You took me too serious"? No. I'm going to say, "I should have prayed more. I should have bled more. I should have went more. I should have spent more time on my knees. I should have had sore knees. I should have had a hurting face." David Brainerd said, "I like to pray until I get in a cold sweat. That's when I know I'm praying long enough." The man literally prayed himself to death. Had tuberculosis so bad, should have moved out west to survive. Died at the age of 29. But he had God, and hundreds of thousands of Indians got saved. When he'd sneeze, he'd spray the snow with blood. Ate berries, lived off berries with the Indians. His interpreter was an alcoholic. Talking about tough. Your interpreter is the guy you're preaching through is a drunk. But he got saved. Because David Brainerd refused to live his life without God. Raven Hill says it's revival or death. It's revival or funeral. I hope that the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart this morning and saying, "Listen, do you have passion? I hope you don't have your mind on the restaurant yet. Do you have passion?" It'd be good for us to go a couple days without food. Maybe that would get us back to realizing there's more to life than the physical. David is starting to realize right here, wait a second. There's more to life than the physical. What's caused me to get here? I ain't got no vision. I ain't got no passion. Let me read to you the great hymn of Charles Wesley. "Oh, that in me the sacred fire might now begin to glow, burn up the dross of base desire, and make the mountain flow." The fire of God. The power. Could Peter have preached at Pentecost without the Holy Ghost? No. Paul said, "My word went into you, not in deed only, but in demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost." If Paul was to get up here this morning, y'all overlook him. He's scruffy looking. He's only 5'4", probably had a hunch in his back. He could barely see 2 feet in front of him. He was base in appearance. If Jesus was to come here physically, y'all would look over him. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He looked way older than he really was. Remember what the Pharisees said? They said, "You're not yet 50 years old. He wasn't barely 30. And they said, "You're not yet 50. Because his body just went and went and went. It was almost broken. Because he took God serious. He's the Son of God. And he was full of the Holy Ghost every second of every day. What's happened to us? Where's our passion? Where's our vision? Next thing. Spirit-led action. David used to be a prayer warrior. David used to inquire of the Lord. But now, he hasn't. Would you look at verse 7 of chapter 27? "And at that time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines." What? This is the most underrated instance of David's life, when David lived with the enemy. He's backslidden. He's not in Jerusalem anymore. He's with the Philistines. He's with the enemy. Do you know when you lose your spiritual vision, when you lose your spiritual passion, and you lose spirit-led action, you end up in the wrong place with the wrong people in the wrong army doing the wrong things. You end up just like them. Let's ask Peter about it. What happened when Peter started doubting God's promises, started doubting God? He ended up warming his hands by the world's fire. He denied God 3 times. He just got done saying, "Oh Lord, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And God said, "Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven revealed that unto you." But my friend, a few chapters over, he's lost his vision. He's lost his passion. He's lost his spirit-led action. You know why my Father has to spend hours upon hours upon hours counseling people? You know why? Because they ain't got no spirit-led action. They're not led by the Spirit. Did you know the greatest gift ever given is the gift of the Holy Ghost? Jesus said, "It is needful for you that I go away, because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you and bring all things to your remembrance. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you." David didn't have that same gift like we have it in this dispensation. We need him today. He's underrated. He's overlooked. But without him, church is nothing. Do you hear me? Without God, Christianity's weak. Abraham said the only thing, or Moses said, the only thing that makes us Israelites is you. The only thing, the only difference between you and the Buddhists is you actually have the real living God. They don't. You actually have the truth. They don't. But what good is the truth without the Spirit? Jesus said, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures." He didn't stop there. He said, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." The church errs this morning. You can know all the Scriptures you want. You know what I learned? You can have 32 degrees and still be frozen. You can have all the degrees in the world and be as frozen as you... I mean frozen. What about the Spirit of God? The power of God. He's not led. You know where he's at in chapter 28 and 29? Guess where David's at? He's in the army of the Philistines. Does that make sense to you? What in the world? Did y'all know that David signed up to be with the Philistines? Y'all didn't know that, did you? That's supposed to be the enemy. That's supposed to be the people that he fought against. That's supposed to be the people that he conquered. No, no, no. Not right here. He's lost his vision. He's lost his passion. He's no longer led by God. God is not with him, and therefore David has come a long way. He's in the army of the Philistines. Guess what happens? The day comes up that Jerusalem is getting close. And David's still in the army of the Philistines. And Achish, his friend, says, "David, you're going to come fight with us?" And David says, "Sure, I'll fight against the army." Now, I read a commentary, a note that said David didn't really want to fight against Jerusalem. And I thought, boy, it sure does sound like he does to me. He said, "Let me fight against the enemies of my Lord." He's calling the king of the Philistines his Lord the King. What a fake. What a weak Christian, wouldn't you say? What's he doing? What's he doing with the Philistines? David, what are you doing with the enemy? Christian, what are you doing with the enemy? What are you doing with the Philistines? What are you doing looking at that stuff on your phone, Christian? What are you doing listening to their music, dressing like they do, walking and talking like they? Why are you with the Philistines? I'm telling you why. You lost your vision. You lost your passion. And you ain't led by the Spirit. Austin, are you ever going to get married? I don't know. But I don't live my life by what I don't know. I live my life by what I do know. And I know God's going to provide. I know God's going to... Isn't a Christian... I like that, don't you? Isn't it simple? David said, "You know what? Lead me in a... I know what it's like to be in the army of the Philistines. I know what it's like to lose my way. God, lead me in a plain path. Lead me. Lead me. Lord, you said, seek my face." I said, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." He's understood something that you need to understand this morning. You've got to have God in your life, in control of your life, and on your life. David said, "You know what I learned? He's like a pavilion." You know what a pavilion does? It surrounds you. It's on every side. It's underneath you. It's above you. It's behind you. It's ahead of you. It's around you. That's God. But you can leave that pavilion, friend. But you know what? David may have felt like he was outside of that pavilion. But aren't you glad that the God of Jerusalem is still God in the land of the Philistines? Aren't you glad that God's not going to let David go? Aren't you glad that God still has it? You know what God didn't do? I'm going to tell you something this morning. When you mess up, when you sin, you know what God doesn't do? He doesn't cast you out. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't throw the clay away.
He doesn't say, I'm done with you. He doesn't say, you know what, David? I've made a change of plans. You're not going to be the king anymore. No, 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 no. He says, David, my plans do not change. My power has not changed. My promises have not changed. The apostle said, just in case you start doubting your salvation, chew on this for a while. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. Jesus has not changed, and God is still God in the far country. Ask the prodigal son. What did God do to the prodigal son? He sent a famine. He sent a famine. God wanted that prodigal son in that pigsty, because that pigsty caused him to go back to the palace. Amen. God wants David in Ziklag. You know why? You can't mess up God's plan. You know why? Because God wants David back in Zion. Before he gets back to Zion, God's going to have to drag him through Ziklag. You might be in Ziklag this morning, but I'm telling you, God's looking to carry you back to Zion. God's looking to send revival to His church. God's looking to move and work in our young people again. God's working to snatch us up and use us once again. What does the Bible say in chapter 30, verse number 7? And it's been a long time, friends, since David talked to the priest. It's been a long time since David talked to the preacher. But he says, preacher, I pray thee, bring me the ephod. And the preacher brought it to him. And verse number 8. Guys, it's been a long, beloved, it's been a long time since David's done this. And David inquired at the who? Lord. We haven't seen that name written in at least 3 chapters, but here he is. Has he gone anywhere this morning, church? Has God quit being God this morning? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. So what are we doing without action, without vision, without passion? David inquired at the Lord. You know what that tells me and you? David is childlike again. See, David's going to take care of, you think, I'm going to preach on this tonight. You think you can take care of your own problems? If God leads me, make changes. You think you can take care of your problems? You know what God thinks of you? You're a very arrogant person. But if you let God have those problems, you're like a little kid. I remind you of the words of our Savior, and I'm quitting. Jesus said, except ye become like a child, ye shall not see the kingdom of God. You got to be brought low before you can be brought high. You got to repent before you can recover all. David has repented. You know what I'm telling you this morning? You say, my prayer life's gone. Don't quit. Listen, beloved, don't quit. You can pray again. Now, you ain't going to start off a master of prayer, but you can pray again. You can inquire. He hasn't gone anywhere. The Holy Ghost hasn't stopped. The blood of Jesus never loses its power. You can come to an altar today. You can go to God in your seat today. You can get vision again. You can get understanding of God's Word again. You can get passion again. God will give you that passion. You can be led of the Spirit again. The Bible says that David went. He said, God, shall I overtake them? Y'all see what I'm saying? I don't think it's hitting y'all. This is different. This ain't the David of chapter 27. He's getting that. By saying Lord, he's saying, Lord, I'm back believing in you. I'm back trusting in you. I'm back relying on you. The Bible says that David sat before the Lord like a little child. Like just like a little kid that sits. You ever had your child sit at your feet? Like a little child, David just sits before the Lord. God, can I give you something deep? You want some deep theology this morning? That's the Christian model. God, what do we do? Then God said, pursue. Now God says, read. We've got the completed work. We've got the completed work of God's word. God, what do we do? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Obey. You want to live in revival? Obey God. That is revival. You know, I've been living in a constant state of revival for 3 years. What? I don't have goosebumps every day. I don't feel saved every day. But I live my life by what I know, not by what I don't know. And I know my Redeemer lives. Repent.
Turn back to God. Look at verse number where he recovers all, chapter 30. Look at verse number 19. David! Go ahead, son, pursue. You know what God could have said to him? David, you haven't prayed in months. I ain't letting you do nothing. You know, I got tickled at something. I'm trying to quit. I'm reading through 1 Chronicles. Now, 1 Samuel tells me about how David committed adultery. You know, 1 Chronicles skips over? Because it's covered by His grace. Amen. God says, David, pursue. You know, David didn't deserve to recover all. David didn't deserve to pursue. But God said, go ahead. We don't deserve revival this morning. God's looking to give it. But the church needs vision. The church needs passion. The church needs Spirit-led action. Repentance is a key to revival. What is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind resulting in a change of heart, resulting in a change of life. It's when you say, Lord, I need you. What say you this morning, Christian? What say you this morning, church member? Do you have passion? Do you have vision? Are you led by the Holy Ghost? Revival or funeral? If you would please stand, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for your good attention.